has been popular opinion in the past, I guess, and is resurging, if that's the word. It's making a comeback in preachers in the state of Maine that the book of Hebrews is not for the church. And I don't know how many times I've heard that in recent weeks, that the book of Hebrews is for the Jews in the tribulation period. And one, I don't know where they get that from. Dr. So-and-so, I assume, because it's not in the scriptures. And even if they're right, all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. And they use Hebrews chapter 6, and you would know the guys if I mentioned their names right now, in the state of Maine, who use Hebrews 6 and others to teach that the gospel of the tribulation is a gospel of endurance. That if you do not have good works with your faith, you will lose your salvation in the tribulation because there is no Holy Spirit to seal the believer. That's also not in the book. The same men teach that, they teach this basically, that the Old Testament salvation was by faith and works, that the church age is salvation by faith, that the tribulation will be salvation back again by faith and works, and that the salvation of the millennium will be salvation by works alone. They only got one of those four right. Salvation has always been by faith, by grace. Salvation has never been by works. The keeping of the law never could save somebody. The sacrifices and the blood of bulls and of goats, everything was intended to point forward to a Messiah that was to come. Hence, those saints that died prior to Christ's crucifixion went to paradise. They were waiting for the promise. And Jesus went and for 3 days and three nights preached the resurrection of the dead and brought them out of captivity after 3 days and three nights. And I'm sure I will be accused by some of not rightly dividing the scriptures, but there has only ever been, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, one gospel. And it is the gospel of faith and repentance. And they will argue words and say, oh, well, the Old Testament saints didn't know what a cross was. They didn't know who Jesus was. It was yet to happen. And I said, agreed so far, but the keeping of the law did not save them. Everything they were obeying by faith was picturing the faith they had in a promised Messiah. And we just look back at the same thing that occurred. And I've lost some people right there, but that is my belief of what the scriptures teach. But Hebrews chapter 11 is where we are. And if I'm completely wrong and they're completely right, or there's a compromise to be had somewhere in there, regardless, all of the scripture is for the church age and for us to learn from and to live by. And they said, if you don't believe me, go listen to their podcast. And you don't have to look very far to figure out which podcast I'm talking about. There's three preachers in with half hour of here that are on a podcast together. And on one of their most recent episodes said, from Hebrews to Revelation is not for us. But that is for the millennium, or for the tribulation period, for the Jews in the tribulation period, that we can learn what it means, but we don't take doctrine from Hebrew, James, the Johns, the Peters, and Revelation. And I'm trying to be kind, even though there's not a live stream on, there is a recorder on, and say I've reached out to some of them. I'll do my due diligence to reach out to them a second time, and then I will publicly mark them as heretics and separate from them. And that may cost me the pastorate here too, who knows? Because they're friends of all of ours. But you preach another gospel, you are in dangerous territory with the Lord. Did anybody else not get a handout that wants one? Young person or not young person? Try to bring a couple extras. Steve, did you get one? You can get one. I always count you on the head count when I do them, so I know you want one. Yep. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, all that had nothing to do with anything that we're looking at tonight, I don't think. Says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good report. I'm just reading that because it's going to end the same way, how they have a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then we're going to jump down to verse number 32. And you'll see pretty quickly that it's not that he has run out of examples, but Paul or whoever you could argue write Hebrews, that's my opinion, and I think scriptures would lay that out, is going to say, I have given you sufficient examples and evidence of faith that I'm going to move on, he says. In verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me. I'm not going to do a study on this, probably this time through Hebrews, but it'd be worth your study, to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. in this list of the Hall of Faith, I don't know how Barak and Samson and Jephthah make it in. Barak wouldn't go to battle unless Deborah the woman led him. Samson, you know his story. Jephthah, the one who said, the next thing through the gate, I'll sacrifice to the Lord. Here comes his daughter. And he does not have to. He foolishly keeps a vow that he doesn't have to keep. The scriptures have laid out in the Old Testament that if you vow a vow foolishly, you can get out of it a certain way. And sacrifices his daughter. And so it's worth looking into, I think, why are these men listed in this chapter of faith? Because faith cancels out some things. That's what we talked about last Wednesday night. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and the health and wealth boys stop right there. And preach a whole faith on, if you have more faith, you'll be delivered and you'll be healed and you'll have a chicken in every pot. Or that was Abraham Lincoln or somebody else, I don't know. The rest of the chapter spells out what we're going to end with tonight, that faith just faces the facts. That it doesn't always turn out like we think it should. And it doesn't have to. Verse 35. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And let's pray. Lord, help us tonight as, if it be your will, we close out chapter 11 and have laid months of foundation of the patience and the faith that we need to draw nigh to God, to hold fast to God, and to help others do the same thing in these last days from chapter 10. And we'll get into chapter 12, how we can run the race with patience, and we can lay off those things that entangle and encumber the runner, the chastisement of God, and so forth. But would you help us, give us tonight what we need to open the next door, to open the next verses, we might have a good understanding and a good idea, have our mind and our hearts wrapped around patience and faith as has been laid out in these examples. Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I'm not grabbing anything, just moving my leather church bag that's in my way. All right, in verse 32, he makes it pretty clear here, what shall I more say? And he gives a couple of names there and says, I could go on and on and on, but he's saying, I would submit anyway, that he has laid out sufficient teaching about patience and faith. That he has given them specific examples showing the substance and the evidence that faith has. And part of looking back over, and I said, I can't believe it's been as long as it's been since we started the book. I said, I'd like to, even just in this chapter, see what we have learned about faith and what is it Paul has laid out for us on in chapter 10, the end of it, ye have need of patience. In chapter 11, the faith that we can have. And it wasn't just, we've said this before, in chapter 10 where he says, this is what you need to do. Let us draw nigh to God. Let us hold fast. Let us provoke one another or help one another do the same thing. And that you need patience and you need faith. He took this whole chapter and said, here's a whole list of people who did it. They struggled. They sinned. Some of them blew it majorly. But the overwhelming factor of their life and their use by God was that they came back to living by faith, trusting the Word of God and obeying the Word of God. And he proved it to us. I just laid it out for you. It can be done. And I wanted to look at some of that. We said this a long time ago. I'm just going to go down through Hebrews chapter 11 and then close out the chapter. That faith is not foolishness. That faith is not a blind leap in the dark. That faith is not fatalism. A belief of all it is. But it's trusting and obeying. That faith isn't feelings, a basis of emotion versus a basis of God. That faith isn't fantasy. It's not binding God, lassoing God to get him to fulfill my vision of how life should be. Long time ago, we said about faith in chapter 11, faith is not altered by appearances. Faith walks by what we hear, not what we see. We said faith is not fettered by feelings, that faith works by what we hear, not what we feel. That faith is not limited by logic, that faith worships by what we hear, not what we can understand. And then we began looking at the examples of Abel, and we said faith receives and believes what God says and acts accordingly. That Abel simply did and gave God what he asked for. And if I believe God is always good and God is always right and he's always does rightly and he always does it right on time, I will respond and live accordingly. We looked at the faith of Enoch, how he walked constantly and consistently with God. Practically, where every decision and every thought was, what would please God? How would this be in harmony with God's will on the matter? What would please Enoch and what would please others wasn't factored in. Enoch walked with God. Noah, we said his faith pictures simplicity. He just believed everything God said. And as a result, faith molded him, but fear moved him. And there is a difference in crippling fear and constraining fear. We said that the right faith produces the right fear. And the right fear produces the right following. That Noah's faith pictures simplicity, that it pictured steadfastness. And we said standing isn't easy when you're standing alone. And we say, well, sometimes we're a low crowd, sometimes we're a bigger crowd, sometimes people are sick, sometimes they're out of town. Try being the only eight in the world. That there isn't a sister church somewhere. There isn't another congregation anywhere. There isn't thousands and millions of believers around the globe. There was eight. And Noah's faith pictures steadfastness. We said it pictures separation. That faithful obedience unifies and divides. We looked at the faith of Abraham. That his faith involved a leaving of worldliness for godliness. His faith involved a living for the next life. That his faith involved a looking, and how looking up helps us live better down here. We said this about a letter that we had read that a missionary had written. Faith cares more than some think is wise. It risks more than some think is safe. Faith dreams more than some think is practical. Faith expects more than some think is possible. Faith is called not to comfort or success, but to obedience. We began looking at the faith of Jacob in Hebrews chapter 11. That Jacob's faith walked with God, it worked for God, and it worshipped before God. And it says, Jacob worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. He came into the presence of God, a broken and a crippled man. And we said, worship isn't a byproduct of strength and stability and safety. That worship is a result of faith. That worship is dependent not on the blessings, but on the blesser. We began looking at the faith of Joseph. How Joseph's faith mentioned, saying his faith directed his talk. That what he believed prompted him to mention certain things. And we gave three things on the faith of Joseph. That faith follows rather than is sent. Faith forgives rather than seeks vengeance. Faith foresees eternal life rather than only sees this life. We moved on and talked about the faith of Amram and Jochebed and how they feared God more than they feared the king. Hence they focused on what God would want them to do, preparing and protecting their home. We moved into dealing with the faith of Moses for 3 or 4 weeks. That the faith of Moses consented not. He refused to be called certain things. His faith chose suffering. His faith calculated the cost. He weighed it out. The riches of Egypt versus the riches of the reproach of Christ. His faith considered the seasons of sin. His faith compromised not. He fled Egypt. He broke all ties. His faith continued on. He endured and he kept the Passover. We looked at the last several weeks ago maybe, or a few weeks ago, faith when it came to the crossing of the Red Sea. And we said faith follows but fear fails. Faith delivers but fear drowns. Faith proves, but fear pretends. And faith obeys, but fear objects. And last Wednesday night, maybe it was, we talked about the faith of Rahab. That her faith canceled out some things. Rahab's faith canceled out her past. It canceled out her perishing, and it canceled out her partnerships. It took her from one group and put her in another. And how the faith that Rahab had, those labels, helped her mortify her flesh. It helped her measure God's faithfulness, and it helped her magnify her future. You say, why couldn't you set all that in 15 minutes instead of 5 months? Well, some things are not bothersome, but are safe to be said again and again in different ways. And the overwhelming teaching of Hebrews 11 is that faith has substance and faith has evidence. What is faith? I hear the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. I obey the Word of God. And faith strengthens and it sustains and it separates, but it supplies. And it sounds like the Holy Ghost knew what he was talking about in chapter 10 and 11, that we need patience and faith. You say, we know that. I know we know that. But practically, you say, I need patience. And I need my faith to grow. Well, the food for faith is the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My patience and my faith and yours is directly tied to my relationship with the Word of God. Colossians 3, let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Luke chapter 8, he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Luke chapter 11, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. 1 Thessalonians 2, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. James chapter 1, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Our patience and our faith is directly tied to our relationship with the word of God. Our hearing it, our believing it, our obeying it. So here in the end part here, the conclusion of Hebrews 11 is a compilation of the summary. And it gives the comparison but the contrasts of the results of faith. Well, if I have the patience that God wants me to have, and I run the race with patience, and I have the faith that God wants me to have, then everything's going to be fine. Well, he gives a contrast here in verse 32. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. And they did. You can read all over the Old Testament. Wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That happened for Samson, that happened for Daniel, others. Quenched the violence of fire. There's at least the Hebrew boys, if not others. Escaped the edge of the sword. That was several of them. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. I don't have time to touch that, but there are Baptist preachers who would say that means what it looks like it means. That in the end of the end, we are going to have outer space and other planets populated by people again, and we're going to have this galactic war. I really want to, but I'm not going to do it tonight. If you believe sincerely tonight that they are talking about fighting these extraterrestrial beings, please go research the Bible and show me where it says that. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. There's the widow lady from Elijah's story and others. He does lay out the results of faith. And he shows us initially the powerful positive reactions and responses to faith. That responding and reacting to life by faith in the Word of God does have a positive side. It can bring deliverance and delight in this life. But as we keep reading to finish out the chapter, faith faces the facts. Faith faces facts, not the fiction or the fantasy that I want life to be. Faces what God says, not what I want to be true. I would like verse 32 to verse 35a to be the only reaction and response to faith. That's what I would like. That's not biblical and it's not reality. You can have biblical patience and faith and not fit into verse 32 to 35a, but find your life in verse 35b to verse 37 that says, "And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." That doesn't sound fair. That doesn't fit with large denominations that are in our world that says if you just have more faith, you'd be healed. If you just had more faith, you'd be delivered. If you just had more faith, everything would work out according to how you desire life to go. That's not in the Word of God. Amen. He does say there are positive, powerful reactions to faith. The positive side is God can deliver. God can get you through the fire. God can spare you from the sword. God can see the dead brought back to life. If that be the will of God for that setting, that will be what happens when God responds to our faith. Amen. But to close us out in chapter 11, faith faces the facts of God's word. Faith says, I'll take what God says, not what I want to be true. That faith can deliver, faith can be delightful, but faith can also know defeat and discouragement. And if I have found defeat and discouragement, yes, I want to check myself, but that doesn't always mean I don't have patience and faith. This will not, I shouldn't say will not help you. This may not on the surface encourage you on a Wednesday night, but it ought to prepare us for the race that lies ahead of us. You could live your life, and I hope you do, honoring God with everything. You can live a life of faith and still suffer and still sorrow, still lose your safety, and still find yourself lacking supply. And people that don't know patience and faith, according to the Bible, will say, well, I thought if you did this, God said He'd do this. Well, God's not obligated to perform like we think He should. He said, well, that contradicts something He promised in the Scriptures. If I did this, He did that. God never contradicts His Word. I just don't understand like He does. I can't see how He sees. And the health and wealth religion only looks at the first half of that list. It says others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. There was deliverance to be had. They could have been delivered from a martyrdom, but they wouldn't accept it. And their deliverance would not have been found in having more faith. I mean, talk about the major religions today that preach this garbage. Have them stand on the edge of the Colosseum and look down on the martyrs of old and say, if you just had more faith in God, that lion would shut his mouth. That torturer wouldn't be stretching you on the rack if you just had more faith. They didn't accept deliverance. They could have been delivered, but the deliverance that was offered to them was, this is all over if you agree to recant Jesus Christ. You can be delivered. It can stop at any moment if you will abandon the faith. And they said, we won't accept a deliverance that involves a denial of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And if faith sees us through deliverance, or if faith ushers us through death, we stand with Jesus Christ.
Right.
Faith causes us to stand firm for God, whether He delivers or whether we die. You say, man, I'm not looking forward to that second half of the list. Me either. God forbid we end up suffering for our faith. We don't know what that's like. And there's at least three in our church that lost their jobs over their religious stands and over the vaccine, probably others have been affected by it in some way or another. That is small beans when you live in a country like ours where you can, if you want a job, go get another job. But there was a missionary that I read a story the other day that was speaking to some Chinese converts in China itself about this health and wealth gospel. And he said to the Chinese church there, there's a false teaching that is plaguing American churches called the health and wealth gospel. It is the teaching that God's will for his children, that it is God's will for his children to be healed of every disease and to be rich. If you lack these things, it is because of your lack of faith. One of the Chinese ladies laughed when she heard this and shook her head and said, "No, I don't think any Chinese Christian would believe that. Chinese Christians know that following Jesus is more likely to lead to hardship and persecution than to health and wealth. Somebody taught them the book." And in verse 39, it says, "These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." Oh, the chapter lays out many of them received the promises, some promises along the way, tangible ones, provisions, certain pieces of land. But perhaps this is referring to they didn't see with their own eyes or receive in their time the promise of a Messiah. But they lived and died in faith that he was coming. That all of this that is being played out, high priest, goats and bulls, sacrifices, everything Paul has reminded them about, this gives us no confidence. This gives us no cleansing. All it does is cover our sin for another year. But there is one sacrifice that is on the way that when he is finished, will sit down on the right hand of the Father, and he will not just have covered our sin for another year. He will have completely removed our sin for all time. They died and lived in the same faith that he is coming. Not that I'm keeping the law by works and in this I have salvation, but that by faith alone, by grace alone, with no works at all, I am saved in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the age that is to come.
Amen.
Man, you're fired up about that. I'm being calm for me. I'm angry about the stand that some brethren are taking on the Word of God. And the liberties they're taking with the Word of God. Because college so-and-so said it. Or doctor so-and-so said it. Let God be true and every man a liar. I am the Lord God, I change not. Now where was I? They knew. As they were often reminded. And we just said it. The sacrifices couldn't take away sin. When they died pre-Calvary. And Jesus said, "The New Testament is in my blood." That's when the New Testament began. When they died prior to that under the old covenant, they did not go to heaven. They went to that, we call it hell if you want, but the two chambers that are in the center of the earth. One was the rich man who died in being in flames, lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and across the great gulf he saw into Abraham's bosom, or paradise. Those that died out of the faith went into this fiery place in the center of the earth. There's a great gulf fixed between. And the saints of old went to the other chamber. The other waiting area called paradise. It is what Jesus referred to on the cross when he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And then when Jesus died, he did not dip one toe in flame. He did not burn in hell for 1 hour. That's nowhere in the book. Well, I can prove it from the scriptures, and so could you, I am sure. But he went to paradise. He went to Abraham's bosom, and for 3 days and 3 nights, he preached the same thing that Abraham preached in paradise, that the saints of old preached in paradise, that any day now the Messiah is coming. Any day now he's going to die. And when he gets back up, we're getting back up with him. And for 3 days and 3 nights, Jesus preached to the captives who were in captivity, "Hey, I just died. It just unfolded. But in 3 days and in 3 nights, I am leading captives home."
Amen.
That's the scriptures. I don't know if it fits with the message, but I like it. I got to send you home. We're going to let you go home. We're 29 minutes in on a Wednesday night. In 40 seconds, Pastor Chuck Barnes will tip over because it's been 30 minutes. No. He doesn't even have to have a clock. He preaches by. He preached for like 49 minutes a couple Sundays ago at his church. I couldn't believe him when he told me that. I'll have to go look it up. It was the same Sunday that Brother Ray Hedgepath preached for an hour and 52 minutes at the church he was at. So you know which one I'll invite here, if I'm here. If I'm on vacation, the guys can preach as long as they want. No, they can't. So in a summary of where we've been for months, we need patience and faith. Patience, the sufferings of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil, with a calm, unruffled temper, endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. He uses that word, ye have need of patience, at the end of chapter 10. That's what patience means in a nutshell. No wonder the Holy Ghost said that we better couple this under divine inspiration with, if you're going to have that life of patience, you're going to need faith. Because faith doesn't always result in deliverance and delights. Sometimes it results in disappointments, discouragement, and death. Patience endures without murmuring or fretfulness because of faith, which is the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another is accurate, resting on the authority of that other party with no other evidence needed. Faith says, I believe what he just said just because he said it. No other evidence needed. But then he gave us a whole chapter of hundreds of years, thousands of history of men and women who lived and died by patience and faith. And faith never focuses on the temporary results, positive or painful. It is always looking for the eternal. Somebody said this, your faith in God is not always going to bring you tremendous triumph and victories over your enemies. But your faith in God will sustain you through any kind of need that you may face in this life. You have need of patience and faith. And then, Lord willing, next week we'll crack chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He said, all right, you got patience and faith. You understand what this is? Let's get running by patience and faith. And let's get rid of everything that is hindering or holding us back or tangling and tripping us from racing the best race now. These guys that preach your best life now. Little Joel Osteen guys. Phooey. Let's run our best race now by patience and faith. Let's